Tomorrow's the beginning of a series of Gita Jayantis. I'll be going in the afternoon to Eger and doing Gita Jayanti there, coming back at night, and on Saturday I'll do two here, one in the morning at 10:30, one in the afternoon at 5. They run 3.5 hours, the reading along with the simultaneous yajna and chanting of the shlokas in Sanskrit by myself, and then it's prasadam after that. And then on Sunday I'll go to Ketchkamit and do the fourth one there, and again come back in the evening. And then Monday I'll be going out to New Wichitan. Devotees who want to sponsor some Gitas, just comes to mind, and you can just send us a message and let us know. And unless you need Bhagavad, Hungarian Bhagavad Gitas yourself, then we can distribute them here for you, place them in schools, libraries, and so on, as we usually do every year. This year we're shooting for 2,500 Gitas, and right now I think we're somewhere around the 2,000 region. Okay, here's a question by Bhakta Janos from Pech, I think. And he says, on Ram Vijayotsav, you spoke about Lord Ramachandra sending Sita Devi away and then performing sacrifices in front of golden deities who actually were not Sita Devi and the wives of Lord Ramachandra. Then you said they could take part in Krishna's pastimes as gopis. I could not understand this. Please, could you explain? Yes, this is a pastime which I believe is mentioned in Venu Gita, and that is its source comes from Garga Samhita, where the origin of the different types of gopis who took part in Krishna's Sharadiya Rasa Yatra, which we celebrated just last week sometime, or maybe a week before that, and where many of these gopis were Nitya Siddha, eternal associates of the Lord who had come. Others were either sadhakas, devotees who had, by the practice of devotional service, attained the stage of perfection of associating with Krishna, or other fortunate souls who had received some kripa or mercy. And here is an example of one of the latter categories. And these are called the deity sitas. And the story goes like this, is that after Lord Ramachandra banished Sita Devi from the kingdom, he had taken a vow, Eka Patni Vrata, of just having one wife, so he wasn't about to accept another. Nonetheless, for the performance of yajnas or sacrifices, he had to have, as a grihastha, his wife present by his side, and in order to make the sacrifice complete. Particularly, these were sacrifices which are meant to be examples for not necessarily just pure devotees, but for conditioned souls, for karmakandis, people who are trying to still enjoy this material world or be elevated to the heavenly planets. So the example needs to be there to follow Vedic injunction. And Lord Ramachandra needed a wife beside him. So his wife was Sita Devi. So what he did was he made a deity, golden deity of gold, of Sita. And with that deity by his side, then he performed the yajnas. And of course we know that a deity of the Lord or his consort is not different than him. So in that way, the sacrifices continued one after another, but with every sacrifice, Lord Ramachandra would make a new deity. And as a result of this, there was a palace in which there were many, many golden sitas. One day, Lord Ramachandra, as they were bringing in the latest sita, these other sitas, because they're none different than sita, they began to talk to him. And they said, we're your wives, and yet you're confining us here to this room. He says, why don't you keep us with you in your own palace, in your own chambers? After all, what is the relationship between husband and wife if we can't be there? And Lord Ramachandra said, well, but you're not my wives, you're deities, my wife is away in the forest. And to this, of course, the Yagyasitas replied that, well, of course we're your wives. You used us for a performance of sacrifice. We look like your wife. We speak like your wife. You accepted us as your wife. So therefore, why can't we act as your wife? That Sita is in the forest. That's all right. But you've already recognized that we're a different Sita since you performed sacrifice with us. Why not then live with us? And the Lord Ramachandra said, well, this is very complicated. And there was a long, long discussion, large argument, in which Lord Ramachandra was losing the debate. Finally, he said, well, listen, I have a vow, Eka Patni Vrata, which means that even if I take you into my chambers, I can only take one of you. Who's going to come, and which are the other ones that are going to stay? So then there was a silence amongst the Sitas, and they understood that now they've been checkmated because all of them wanted to go and none of them wanted to stay. So, finding the best solution, Lord Ramachandra said, listen, even if one of you came, I can only accept one of you. I've taken Eka Patni Vrata. But when I come in the end of the Dwapara Yuga, then I will accept you all. I won't be bound by this vow. And you'll enter with me into the arena of the Rasa dance and exchange with me just as your husband. And there'll be no restrictions and no limitations about how many of you I can be with. So in that way, the Sita Devis were pacified, and therefore they could participate in Lord Ramachandra's Leela. As I'm saying this, I'm thinking that how fixed was Lord Ramachandra in the principle of Dharma that he was willing to send his wife away, his pregnant wife, into the forest just on the basis of maintaining a religious principle, in this case the religious principle being just setting the right example for others to follow in the matter of a king should be above doubt. There should be no doubt about his character. And even if there's something that gives room for some doubt, then that should be eliminated. Very wonderful example. I remember when I, in the first years being here in Hungary, we met with the Indian ambassador, and that was an argument that I got into with the wife of the Indian ambassador, rather she with me, is that how could Lord Ramachandra send his wife away to the forest? What an undharmic thing was to do. Anyway, the laws of Dharma are very mysterious. Sometimes lower principles have to be sacrificed for higher principles. Compromise has to be made. And these often cause bewilderment to us ordinary living entities. For that reason, Shastra says, Dharma antushakshad bhagavat pratina, is that principles of Dharma enunciated by the Lord and Mahajana Yena Gada Sabanta, and they're hidden in the hearts of great devotees. So even if we don't fully grasp the reasoning and logic behind Lord Ramachandra's behavior, still, because he is Lord Ramachandra, he is the ultimate principle of Dharma, he's the topmost expert on religion, then we just accept that if he does it, then it's perfect. In the same way, people are bewildered about Krishna's dancing with the gopis, other men's wives. How is this Dharma? But because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore we also accept that whatever he does is also perfect. Oh, Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll be back again to you tomorrow, and all the best. Hare Krishna.